by your Holy Spirit. Touch each and every one of us, and so that we could feel your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, this is a familiar text. We hear it often. We hear it certainly during Lent, the last week in Lent. And my sermon title today is A Perfect Example to Follow. Jesus has left for us a perfect example. And I'll read this reflection. I'll share these few thoughts with you that I've used this earlier on my online program, but like to share this with you and like to bring to your attention 7 days that changed the world. 7 days that changed the world. And this time around, we won't go to all 7 days, but certainly we will reflect on this day. These 7 days have been the topic of a million of publications, countless debates, and thousands of films. These 7 days have inspired the greatest painters, the most skilled architects, and the most gifted musicians to try and calculate the cultural impact of these 7 days is impossible. But harder still would be an attempt to account for the lives of men and women who have been transformed by them. And yet, these 7 days, as they played out in Jerusalem, were of little significance to anyone but a few people involved. What happened on those 7 days? For now, let's take a look at the events of Holy Week thus far. On Sunday, the first of the 7 days, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to the shouts of Hosanna, fulfilling an old prophecy, Zechariah 9, verse 9. And then on Monday, he walked into the Jerusalem temple, overturning tables where money exchanged occurred. Roman drachmas were being exchanged for Jewish shekels. Roman coins were not allowed in the temple. The image of Caesar was a violation of the second commandment, which says those should have no other god beside Yahweh. But the temple authorities were using the commandment as means to cheat the people and making the temple a place of profit rather than a place of prayer. And if you remember that story, Jesus will say to them, if you remember that biblical narrative, he would get angry as he chased out the money changers, and he said, "This is my Father's house, it is a house of prayer." Because they were selling in his house. On Tuesday, Jesus taught several in the parables. He warned the people against the Pharisees and predicted the destruction of the temple. That would bring a debate in Matthew because they thought he meant the physical temple, but in essence he meant himself, the temple, that he would die and be resurrected 3 days. On Wednesday, which would have been yesterday, the fourth day, we know nothing. None of the Gospels write anything happening on Wednesday of Holy Week. Cannot be found anywhere. And so therefore, the Gospel writers are silent about Wednesday. Perhaps it was a day of rest for him and his weary and worried disciples. And I would like to submit to you, friends, that on Wednesday, I believe that Jesus was quietly praying. He knew what was ahead of him. There was no activity on Wednesday. And out of all four Gospels, none of them said anything about Wednesday. But on Thursday, which is today, on Thursday in an upper room, Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples, but he gave it a new meaning. No longer would his followers remember the exodus from Egypt in the breaking of bread. They would remember his broken body and shed blood. We read in the text, now before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And so as we see this, we read further, he says, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during the supper, which is what we are going to celebrate tonight, the supper that John speaks about, John does not get into detail as Luke does about the supper, but we'll see Paul reminding us in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, about the supper. So let's begin here. Jesus will say, for I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. An example. An example is defined that serves as a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated. There are good examples and there are bad examples. A thing characteristic of its kind or illustrating a general rule. So we are quite clear that on that night, on that Thursday, Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, Jesus would set an example. And that example is for the disciples to follow, and that example is for us to follow. And let's see what is in that first example. The first thing we could observe in that example is love. Jesus would say that having loved them, having loved the disciples, and having loved those who are in the world, he would love them until the very end. And love is an intense feeling of deep affection. So friends, here's the first example that we have to follow as Christians. We are to love one another. Jesus will say that at the end of this narrative, he'll say it, that was just read, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So the first example he's setting is one of love. Cannot be Christians and don't love one another. Agape love. God love. Loving each other and treating each other well. In spite of ourselves, loving each other. Not eros, not romantic love, but unconditional agape love. We strive for that love because we are followers of Jesus Christ. That's the first example. And then the second example for us to follow, Jesus reminds us that he was deliberate about these things because this was on the night before he gave himself up for us. That he would take his time to do this. The next thing is humility. Humility. Humility is the freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. The fact that I may bow before I come up here doesn't mean I'm necessarily humble unless my heart is humble. Changed. It's not just an outward function, it's an inward function. Now, where did we see Jesus being humble? We recall from the text that after the supper, what did Jesus do? He got up, he put a cloth around his waist, he took the basin or the bucket or whatever he used, and he began to wash the feet of his disciple. Now, friends, washing the feet of each other in that part of the world was standard. It is a Mediterranean culture, because remember, they did not wear socks or stockings. They wore sandals. And so when they walked through to the villages and the towns, their feet would be dusty because they did not wear socks. So when you entered someone's house, they would provide you with water to wash your feet. So it wasn't the washing of the feet that was all that important to Jesus. He was using something that servants would do to teach us to be humble. Humility. He began to wash their feet, and Peter didn't get the point, like how we don't get the point sometimes. Peter says, wash my whole body. You can't wash my feet. Wash my head and my hand. And Jesus says, no. If you have taken a bath, you're clean. I'm washing your feet because you've been walking outside. Showing us that he would be humble. Humble to the point of death on a cross. So here's the next example he has set for us, that we should be what? Humble. We should have humility. I know we live in a world that humility is not looked upon. But we as Christians are to be servants. And we who are leaders are to be servant leaders. First we serve, and then we lead, like Christ. Tonight, we want to remember that Jesus Christ left us an example to be humble. And then after he washed their feet, he began to get them to understand what was needed of them, that they would love one another. Now, something else happened that night that I skipped over for a moment to get to those two points, and that was the supper. Very important, the Last Supper. The Last Supper is called the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. There's another name that slips me now, but it is the celebration of that meal when Jesus came together with his disciple on that Passover night 2,000 years ago or so. It is amazing that I believe this week Passover begins, or we're in Passover, or it's coming up tomorrow night. That Passover will begin tomorrow night. Jesus will be crucified. We are celebrating or remembering his crucifixion tomorrow. That every now and then the Jewish calendar and meets up with the Christian narrative, and folks want to tell us that it's not true. I know they have found the black hole or whatever blue hole or whatever hole they found. And they have found something else somewhere else. They said in the news, they have found another thing about how many billions or zillions of years the plate where it was created. Did you see those things on the news? They said something they know about how zillions and billions and trillions. And I tell them, no matter what they do, if they could find it all, they would have lived forever. When they find the thing that we don't have to die and that we're young forever, then I'll tell them that they could stand up to God. But thanks be to God, maybe some of the things that they're finding is going to bring health and healing with some of the diseases that humanity has. So we want scientists to work. We want the scientists to say things. We just don't want them to mess with our Christian narrative. Just leave us alone, because we believe it. We who believe it. So on that night, Paul now is going to remind us. Remember, Apostle Paul wasn't there. But he's going to hand it down to us, an example to follow. He was not there that night, but in Corinthians, as he spoke to the Corinthian church, he wanted them to get something of Christ. And he says, when he had gone out, When Paul stood before the Corinthian church, it's called the institution of the Lord's Supper. It was being instituted in the early church. Paul would have heard about it from the disciples, and now he was instituting it. So as he was building the church in Corinth, they would share in the Last Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you." He received from the Lord through Peter and the other disciples that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the loaf of bread. I know oftentimes you see we read it from this book. I want to remind you tonight that it is in another book called the Bible. It's in here because it's the liturgy of the church, a tradition, but it's first in here. The words we say is in here. It says that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he gave him, when he was betrayed, he took the loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Amen.
An example set for us. And in the same way, he took the cup. Also, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." Friends, we have a new covenant in my blood, in his blood. "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Amen.
As often as we do it, we are proclaiming his death until he returns again. That's our example to follow, friends. He has left us a perfect example how to be humble, how to love one another, and then how to share in this holy meal that we will share in tonight. And we will share in this meal tonight, and I'd like to use this opportunity to give you a little bit of instruction about this. Tonight we are going to share in this holy meal as we remember Jesus Christ. We will instruct you after we have stripped on the altar to remember him dying on the cross on Good Friday. We are going to instruct you. We are going to share in Holy Communion after it's been blessed in the chapel, which we have set up like the upper room. Remember, he was in the upper room. There are 14 chairs set, one for Christ, and 13 chairs set, just checking my math. One for Christ, and 12, and then 12 for the disciples. And then we could have a couple more, because we could have God and the Holy Spirit. But we're just going to stay with Jesus. Then the ushers will instruct you now to enter. You will sit, and we will share in the sacrament. When we get to that room, I hope you will be prayerful. You will reflect. You will remember that before he died for us, he shared in that meal. After you've shared in the meal, and I will let conduct you now to leave. You may leave to go home quietly, or you may kneel here and pray. But we are going to take this time to draw closer to God, this time of Holy Communion, and truly to do this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.